This is the Jump Pass. I am your host, Ryan, and I have to talk about it. Don't want to talk about it, but it wouldn't be right if I didn't, you know, drop this episode after a brutal beatdown that the Titans suffered. And I want to give you a definition of a word that describes that particular performance between the Bills and the Titans. And the definition is, it's an discriminative and brutal slaughter of people. Another definition is deliberately and violently kill a large number of people. What is that word that describes that definition, you may ask? It's called a massacre. And that's exactly what the Bills did to the Titans. It was an utter and brutal massacre of a performance that the Bills put on the Tennessee Titans, particularly in the last, like, you know, three quarters of that game. And for those who don't know, my name is Ryan Harris. I am the host of the Jump Pass, and this is the worst beatdown since I started this podcast. And I started this podcast almost a year. It'll be a year in October. So for those who were just under a rock, the Titans played on Monday night. Bills won 41-7. The first quarter was played pretty well by the Titans. I'll admit that. It was pretty well. You know, they scored a touchdown on their first drive for the second straight game. And then for the second straight game, the offense couldn't do nothing. And like I mentioned before in the last episode, the Titans have an identity issue. They have an offensive philosophy issue. The Titans, they've always been the run first team, but now the things that make them a quality run first team, they don't have it anymore. Or at least they don't have it right now. The offensive line is bad. It's been bad. It's been bad for a while. It's going to continue to be bad unless there are some changes that need to be made within that unit. Who to blame for the offensive line issues? I say this. A lot of people say, oh, let's not blame John Robinson. Oh, we flip-flop on John Robinson too much. But we got to point out the good and bad of John Robinson. He's done some great things. It's no fluke that the Titans have had six straight winning seasons under his ability to build the roster. Under his general management, the Titans have had six straight winning seasons, which equals the amount of years he's been our general manager. But he's had some flaws along the way. But if you don't want to blame J-Rob, then let's blame Keith Carter. Keith Carter is the offensive line coach. He's been the O-line coach for five of those years. Five of the 6 years of John Robinson, Keith Carter has been the offensive line coach. And really, honestly, out of those 5 years, I can make a strong case that three of those years, he struggled. Three of those years, the offensive line has not played pretty well. They've been struggling a whole lot. I mean, Taylor One getting hurt, it's the same old story, unfortunately, with Taylor One getting hurt. He's been getting hurt for the last few years. Maybe it's time to hang him up. Maybe it's time. And how bad is Dylan Raiens? How bad is Dylan Raiens to where he can't even back up Taylor One at L tackle? That's his natural position. That's where he played in college when he was protecting Trey Lance at North Dakota State. So you mean tell me he the backup of the backup? Because that other guy, what's his name, Daly or whatever his name is, the guy from Carolina Panthers they picked up, what was that, about what, 3 weeks ago? A month ago? He struggled. Struggled big time. And then speaking of Dylan Raiens, he was on the field for some of those snaps. as the extra offensive lineman. So you mean tell me the Titans drafted a second round draft pick in the 2021 draft to basically be Dennis Kelly? That's not good. It's not good at all. I'm going to talk a little bit more about John Robinson and the reason why I think the Titans are now starting to see the struggles. I'm going to tell you why. But let's talk about the game itself. Again, 41-7, Bills beat the Titans. Titans are now 0-2. Bills are 2-0. Shout out to the Bills. They look like the team. They look like the best team in football. And they have kicked. They kicked the Rams' ass on Thursday Night Football in front of their home, team. What was that? The ceremony of their Super Bowl. Bills came in and started kicking ass. Tennessee Titans. The Titans have gotten the best of the Bills the last couple of years. You know, beat them badly in 2020. The goal line stopped by Jeffrey Simmons last year, and we had to go into Buffalo, and they kicked our ass up and down the field. I mean, these numbers don't look good. If you're a Titans fan, this doesn't look good. If you're a Titans fan like I am, this is terrible. Very terrible. I mean, 414-187. That's the total yard discrepancy between the Bills and the Titans. 187 yards. Josh Allen pretty much had that in the first half. Passing. Stephon Diggs had 29 less yards than the Titans had total yards. Can't win. How can you win any game when you can't even get 200 yards total as a team? Ryan Tannehill, 11-20, 117 yards, 2 interceptions. You're not going to win games like that. Ryan Tannehill throwing the ball 20 times. You're not going to win games like that. You're not. You're not going to win games like that when your quarterback is not throwing the ball enough in a passing league. Derrick Henry, 13 carries, 25 yards, and a touchdown. That's ugly. Credit to the Bills. And I did mention this about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. The two weaknesses of the Bills, they addressed one of them. I said the two biggest weaknesses of the Bills was they can't run the ball and they couldn't stop the run. That was their two biggest weaknesses last year. And the third weakness was they did not have a sack. They did not have a player on their defense that can get after the quarterback on a consistent basis. They'd address two-thirds of those matters. And this was the number one defense in the league. And now they ain't got the number one defense in the league, and they improve. And they improve because they added Jordan Phillips, very good run-stopping defensive lineman. Tennessee Titans own Daquan Jones. It's a good run defender. And they add the biggest addition, Von Miller, who's a pass rusher. And even though he's around, you know, close to his mid-30s, he can still get to the quarterback. So kudos to the Bills. They did what they were supposed to do. They were the better team. They're the more talented team, and they showed it. But Derrick Henry, the Derrick Henry struggles, though, are a little bit on the offensive line and a little bit on Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is running the football, and I noticed this in the last two games. Derrick Henry has ran the football like the 2018 version of himself. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, look at 2018. Look at the first part of 2018 season for Derrick Henry. And you'll understand what I'm talking about. This is when Vrabel was first the head coach. This is when we had Matt LaFleur as OC. And this is when Matt LaFleur was splitting carries between him and Deion Lewis. And there was some rumblings that he could have been traded that year. So the 2,000-yard seasons and, you know, rushing titles, that could have been under a different uniform. If Henry did not have that talk with Eddie George, he might need to have that talk with Eddie George again. See if what's going on. Because he's been struggling. And like I said, some of that is on the O-line. The O-line's been bad. But I've seen Derrick Henry have success under the same offensive line that's been struggling. Of course, there's been different players on there. But he's overcame. Running backs sometimes, good running backs, great running backs can overcome bad O-line. But we have to come to this Jesus moment here with Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, 28 years old, in about 4 more months, he'll be 29. He'll be 29 years old in January. We can't, as a team, Tennessee as a team cannot continuously rely on Derrick Henry to be the savior of this team. It's a passing league. I've been saying it over and over. It's a passing league. I'll continue to talk about the stats in a minute, but I want to address this situation regarding Derrick Henry. A lot of people are saying that Derrick Henry, this is not Derrick Henry's fault, and I'm not blaming Derrick Henry. It's not totally his fault the way the Titans are. The Titans have built this team around Derrick Henry as a run-first team, tough nose, time possession, eat up a lot of clock. That's what they're been. Really, that's what they've been to me the entire time they've been the Tennessee Titans. The last time the Titans were a pass-first team, you had to go back to the Warren Moon days when they were the Houston Oilers. But ever since Jeff Fisher's been the head coach and on down, they've been a run-first team. And it worked in the 90s. It worked in the early 2000s. But in 2022, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. The days of running backs leading teams to the Super Bowl are long gone. Shannon Sharpe even told you that. Shannon Sharpe said that last week, when they were talking about Saquon Barkley and how they shot the Titans. He said to himself that the days of a running back leading the team to the promised land are long gone. They are. Yeah, I mean, I'm just only relaying the message from a Hall of Fame tight end. And I did some data. I did some research. And I went back to, I didn't mean to go this far back, but I did. The 1930s, of course, that was before the merger. So I kind of went a little bit further down. I went to about 1980, which is about 32 years. 42 years. Got my math incorrect. 42 years. I went back 42 years. All right. And I noticed a lot of players on this list. And the data that I looked up was rushing leaders every single year. Whoever won the rushing title from 1930 until last year. And it's a lot of great running backs. Curtis Martin, LaDainian Tomlinson, Adrian Peterson won 3 rushing titles. Ezekiel Elliott has 2 rushing titles. Of course, Derrick Henry has 2 rushing titles. Jonathan Taylor won it last year. DeMarco Murray. All these guys, what do they have in common? Postseason failures. The last running back to win the rushing title and win the Super Bowl as well got date back to 1998. That was Terrell Davis. The last running back to win the rushing title and just to make the Super Bowl, you had to go back to 2005. That was Sean Alexander when he rushed for 1,880 yards and 16 touchdowns. The days of the running back leading your team to the promised land are long gone. Last year, Jonathan Taylor won the rushing title. Coach didn't even make the playoffs. Derrick Henry, he had that 2,027 yards. Couldn't beat the Ravens. Didn't do anything against the Ravens. The offense in general couldn't do anything against the Ravens. Derrick Henry in 2019 was pretty close. Titans made it to the AFC Championship game. But still no Super Bowl. Ezekiel Elliott won it in 2018. Cowboys won 1 game in the playoffs. Kareem Hunt won the rushing title in 2017. Couldn't beat the Tennessee Titans. Ezekiel Elliott even won it in his rookie year, 2016. Cowboys didn't win no playoff games. I'm just going down the list. Adrian Peterson, 2015. I don't even think the Vikings made the playoffs that year. I'm sorry, they did make the playoffs. They didn't win a playoff game. Just going down the list. LeSean McCoy, 2013. No playoff. They lost to the Saints. I remember that. I remember that because that was the day that we had to bury my mother-in-law. And that game came on Saturday night. That was when Nick Foles was the quarterback. During the Chip Kelly era. Adrian Peterson won the NFL MVP in 2008. Minnesota Vikings. He was the last running back to win NFL MVP. They were the 3 seed. Lost to the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm saying all of that to say the days, and it's per Shannon Sharp. This is not my words. This is Shannon Sharp words as well. The days of the running back leading your team to the promised land are over. And that's not me dissing Derrick Henry. I think Derrick Henry can still be a key factor in this offense. But we have, at this point, in the next few years, at least next couple of years, the Titans going to have to start building their team to be in a more of a pass-oriented offense. But that's what I want to talk about Derrick Henry. But 13 carries, 25 yards, that's not going to get it done. And it's unfair to Derrick Henry, too, because three or four of those carries was the running back toss plays. You run it one time, it's not going to work. You can't keep running the same toss play to the weakest side of the O-line, especially when Taylor Lewan's not there. Dennis Daly, or whatever his name is, whiffing on blocks on those toss plays. It was not working. Try the right side. If you're going to do the toss play again, do it on the right side. Let's see if that works out. But the left side was not working. He lost 8 yards in 3 carries with those running back toss plays. That's not right. It's not right at all. I thought Treylon Burks played well with the limited opportunities that he got. I thought he played well. I thought Robert Woods played well. Austin Hooper, again, a no-show. He did get more targets, but only one catch. No-show. Got to find a way to get him the ball. That's on Todd Downing. That's on Mike Vrabel. Gotta find the guys that you put in to replace guys, to replace production that you had last year. They're not getting involved in this offense. One catch for 19 yards, that's not getting involved. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine got the same stat line he had last week. One catch, 13 yards. He got more targets, but that's it. Kyle Phillips should not even play. He muffed another fumble, but I think it's more because he muffed it because he was hurt. He had a shoulder injury. I thought he wasn't going to play, and he shouldn't have. And I knew Josh Gordon wasn't going to get involved. The Titans, for some reason, they hate veteran wide receivers. That I don't know. I mean, I thought that he was going to, you know, get cut, kind of similar to what happened with Golden Tate last year. So I was surprised they activated him in the 53-man roster, but nothing. Zero catches, 0 yards, 1 target. Of course, we did have a Malik Willis showing, but that just was in garbage time. He was only 1 for 4, 6 yards. He did have 4 carries for 16 yards. You know, just a rookie just trying to do too much because he lost the fumble as well. It's just, you know, a rookie's just trying to make something out of nothing. That's going to happen. But I want to talk about this defense as well. I want to talk about this defense. I don't know who game plan it was to have Trey Avery, an undrafted free agent, going one-on-one with Stephon Diggs. I don't know who idea was that. Whoever it was, in the words of Stephen A. Smith, they need to be drug tested. Having an undrafted free agent against one of the three to five best receivers in the league. That's very bold. That's very bold. And in true fashion, it didn't work. Stephon Diggs, 12 catches on 14 targets. That's ridiculous. And I say out of those 12 catches, about 9 to 10 of them were easy. Easy. Roger McCreary was on them a little bit. He did an okay job. He did okay. He did the best he could. He led the team in tackles, which is not a good thing. You should never. Let me give y'all a little lesson. Corners should never lead the team in tackles, because usually 9 times out of 10, that means they're getting ate up by the pass. Corners should never lead the team in tackles in any game. A linebacker, yes. Maybe a safety. Defensive line, maybe so. That might be, that could be a good thing. But usually linebackers should be your leading tacklers. Corners should never be your leading tacklers. That gives you an indication of that this team was getting gashed by either the run or the pass. Zach Cunningham, I'm not sure what's going on with Zach Cunningham. It's two games in a row where he's missing tackles. And he's supposed to be a sure tackler. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know. But he's missing tackles. Running backs are easily breaking their tackle. He's just not wrapping up. The touchdown run, the touchdown pass to the fullback, which was Buffalo's first score of the game, Zach Cunningham had him. Should have been a 4-yard loss. Instead, it was a touchdown. But yeah, this defense, if Jeffrey Simmons and Bud Dupree, again, he got hurt, so that's, we got to monitor that, because that's huge too. But if Jeffrey Simmons, Bud Dupree, DeNico Autry, those guys do not get to the quarterback, Rashad Weaver, if those guys do not get to the quarterback, that secondary is getting torched. And I said this last episode. I said that Daniel Jones did not play all that bad. And the reason why is because if he's not, Daniel Jones was very successful. And the reason why I said this is because I watched the game against the Giants. When he had time to throw, he was connecting with his receivers. He made really one or two bad throws in that entire game. The stats kind of showed that he didn't play all that well. He was a little bit average. But when he had time to throw, he was connecting with his receivers. So that's 2 weeks in a row for the secondary struggling. 2 weeks in a row. Now the Titans are 0-2, and they're going to be playing against a 0-2 team that's also desperate for a win. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But I want to add one more thing, or one more point, about this Titans team. You probably wonder, like, why the Titans are struggling? Why are they really struggling? It's because the things that we have neglected for years is starting to come back to bite us in the ass. O-line play, think about it. 2020, get Isaiah Wilson. He played 3 more snaps than me. And I'm not even a football player. I never played professional football. But he played 3 more snaps than me. 2021, Dylan Raiders, no show, nothing. And still nothing. Still ain't done nothing. Your top 2 draft picks from the 2021 draft class have provided nothing. Caleb Farley, what I saw from Caleb Farley, he was getting burnt by a fifth string wide receiver. Jake Camaro, or whatever his name is, I didn't even know Jake Camaro was playing for the Bills. I thought he was still with the Green Bay Packers. That's how irrelevant I think Jake Camaro is right now. I thought he was still with the Packers. I thought maybe he was in the practice squad or somewhere. But getting outclassed by the field wide receiver of the opposing team, you don't want to see that out of your first round draft pick. If that was Diggs, fine. Diggs has done that to the best corners in the league. But not your fifth wide receiver. Not the fifth wide receiver on the team. It's unacceptable. But the issue with the Titans is those draft class, those last two draft classes, not talking about 2022, I'm talking about 2021 and 2020. Those draft classes have provided the Titans little to nothing. And it's biting the Titans in the ass. You saw, if you watched the game, you saw how the Bills have built their roster. They built their roster through the draft. They added some pieces in free agency here and there, but their core players, most of the core players are basically draft picks. Josh Allen, draft pick. Milano, the linebacker, draft pick. Their two running backs, Cook, Singletary, Moss, all draft picks. And what they did with Josh Allen, they gave him weapons. They gave him Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs wasn't happy with his situation with Minnesota. All right, let's trade him. Goes to the Bills. He was great with Minnesota. He's even better with Buffalo. And that's my biggest fear with Malik Willis. Will the Titans get him weapons, enough weapons to thrive in the offense? And number two, will they have a playbook that is catered to his strengths? Those are my two biggest fears with Malik Willis. But with the Titans, the last two draft classes, look them up. See who's playing significant roles in those draft classes. 2020, Isaiah Wilson, no show. Christian Fulton, can't stay healthy. He has a hamstring injury. That's the worst kind of injury you can have for a cornerback. Those hamstring injuries linger. You might think you're healthy, but you're not really the same yet. Those hamstring injuries could be season-ending injuries. It might as well be a season-ending injury. Because those hamstrings, the best way to basically cure a hamstring injury is really rest. So it's just one of those things where Christian Fulton can't stay healthy. He played six games in his rookie year. He played, I believe, 12 games last year. Can't stay healthy. I do like this year's draft class. I really do like this year's draft class. But 2020 and 2021, those are your draft class. Those are the issues right there. Even if you want to go a step further back, besides 2019, the draft classes before then, 2017, 2018, the Titans are not keeping first-round draft picks. They're not giving them second contracts. Corey Davis, after 4 years, gone. Adoree, 4 years, gone. Rashad Evans, 4 years, gone. The Titans, they are not keeping talent because they're not making the right kind of draft picks. I always felt like John Robinson at times, this is a gift and a curse. John Robinson wants to pick the feel-good story, the one that's going to come from nothing and turn out to be something. I feel like sometimes John Robinson tries to pick players and he's picking potential instead of picking the sure thing. Potential does work, but you can't always go on that. Every single draft pick. Every single draft pick is a prospect. And my guys, Tennessee Titan Weekly, they pointed it out. Titans don't have enough dogs on the team. They don't. We traded one of them. But, I mean, to be fair, A.J. Brown, if A.J. Brown was on the team, the Titans would still lose to these Bills. It probably wouldn't be 41-7, but we'll still lose to them, though. Titans have issues. On the concern scale, am I concerned? Absolutely. Do I still think the Titans can ride the ship and win this division? As terrible as it is, absolutely. The AFC South is 1-5-2. That sounds like a hockey team's record. But that's combined. Four teams have one win. And the only reason why the Jaguars won was because they played the Colts. They played another divisional opponent. So I figured somebody had to win. I mean, they could have tied, but usually I can't think of the last time a team had two ties. I don't even think it's ever happened, but I think, you know, if you go back far enough, it's probably a team that had two ties. But this is what happened. Look at the draft classes, 2017, 2018, 2020, and 2021. The two biggest issues, O-line, cornerback. John Robinson has invested a lot in both positions, and he has swung and missed on a lot of them. He has swung and missed on O-line a lot. Roger Saffold worked out. That was a free agent signing, though. But I'm talking about draft picks. Look at the draft picks for the O-line and tell me which one of them worked. The only draft pick that has worked in the O-line is Jack Conklin. It was from his first draft class. He's gone. He was 4 years and gone. He left after 2019. 4 years and gone. Which, for the record, I said that was the right decision because I figured that since he, you know, done a good job of picking Conklin, and Conklin ended up being successful somewhat, I felt like the right tackle position, you could do better. And he hasn't done better. Has not replaced Jack Conklin. Hopefully, Nicholas Petitfiere can be that guy. Hopefully. But we'll see. But we got to start holding people accountable. We got to start holding Mike Vrabel accountable for the deficiencies of this team. We got to start holding John Robinson accountable for the deficiencies of this team. And oh yeah, and for all you fire Ty Downing people, I'm with you. I understand you want to fire Ty Downing. Ty Downing's not getting fired. The only silver lining with that situation is if the Titans keep struggling on offense, he can get stripped from his play calling duties and give the play calling to Tim Kelly to see what he can do. But overall, even if Tim Kelly is the play caller, I don't see much changing from this offense. Especially if the offensive line doesn't get fixed. If the offensive line doesn't get fixed, it ruins your whole offensive game plan. You can't run. You can't pass. You got to go deep into the playbook just to see what can work and what plays can work to where the offensive line can hold their blocks for longer than 2 seconds. So the issue is the Titans have an identity issue. They have an offensive philosophy issue. They're trying to run things through Derrick Henry. Henry's not quite healthy yet. I can tell. He's not attacking the holes like he used to. The offensive line is not helping him out. The offensive line is not even helping Ryan Tannehill out. Ryan Tannehill, when he has time to throw, he makes some good decisions. But it's when you're getting hit, when you barely have time to throw the football, you're going to prematurely throw the football in a shorter amount of time than you want to. And that, as a result, those lead to turnovers. And again, with the Titans and turnovers, they turn the ball over 4 times. Not being any team turn the football over. And I said the Titans have a talent issue. They do. There's a lack of talent on this team. But the two things that you can control, and I always say this on this show, control the controllables. You could do two things, and it doesn't take talent to do these two things. And that's turning the ball over, or lack thereof, and not have a lot of penalties. The Titans, they had 4 turnovers, and they had 9 penalties. It doesn't take talent to not turn the ball over. It doesn't take talent at all. It doesn't take talent to not commit stupid penalties. So we're going to see what the Titans are going to do to bounce back from this, because this was an ugly loss. This was the ugliest loss in the Mike Vrabel era. This and that Packer loss are probably definitely 1-2 in my book. And a distant third is probably getting shut out by Joe Flacco. But we're going to we're going to see what the Titans do to bounce back. And they don't have that many. They don't have much time to do that because they're on a short week and they play against a desperate team in the Vegas Raiders. And let's go into that right now. 0-2 Titans, 0-2 Raiders. Raiders 0-2 because their coach. It's because of Josh McDaniels. I said that on Let's Be Real Media when I came onto that show and we talked about the AFC West. I said my biggest concern with the Raiders was the coach. Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels is not a good coach. He's a good coordinator. And it's okay. I mean, if you're just a good coordinator, you're just a good coordinator. There's plenty of coordinators that are good as coordinators, but not as coaches. Romeo Crennel, I think he's one of the greatest defensive minds of all time. He was terrible as a coach. He was terrible with Cleveland, terrible with Kansas City. Just not a good coach. Remember Dick Vermeil? I mean, not Dick Vermeil, Dick LeBeau. Before he was a defensive coordinator with the Steelers and the Titans, he was the coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. They were horrible, horrible teams. Sometimes you're just good as a coordinator. Sometimes you're just good as a supervisor. But when it's time to be the CEO, you just can't make good decisions. Sometimes you're just a good employee. But when it's, but you want to go into that supervisor role, you don't know what the hell you're doing. People are relying on you now. And you don't know what to do. You get stressed out. So that was my concern for the Raiders. But this matchup right here, this could be a tough one for the Titans. Because the cornerback issue. Got to monitor Christian Fulton. Will he be healthy for this game? I don't know. But he don't have to, whoever is at corner going to have to deal with Davante Adams. If Diggs can get 12, 148, and 3 touchdowns, who's to say Davante Adams can't get you the same kind of production or similar? He's one of the 5 best wide receivers in the league as well. Diggs is top 5, and Davante Adams is also top 5. So what you going to do? They got Hunter Renfrow, who cost them the game. But they also got one of the 3 best tight ends in the game, in Darren Waller. And I guarantee you, Derek Carr is going to get Darren Waller involved, unlike the Titans getting Austin Hooper involved. Waller will get involved. It's going to be a tough matchup. But I'll say the keys to the game is to, really honestly, this game is going to be won or lost by whoever gets to the quarterback. Can Derek Carr, can the Titans front 4 get to Derek Carr and force him to make mistakes? Because he has made some mistakes in the first 2 games of this season. It's going to come down to whoever gets after the quarterback. Whoever does it in a regular basis is going to win this ball game. I don't know who's going to win this ball game. I hope the Titans do. But we're going to see. If the Titans go 0-3, I don't want to. It's going to be very interesting to see are you going to have that same energy, Mike Vrabel, of, oh, we don't need to make any wholesale changes. You go 0-3, you keep going 0-whatever, you're going to have to make those wholesale changes. Right now, you're right. Don't hit the panic button yet. It's 2 games in, even though usually teams that start out 0-2, they make the playoffs about less than 10% of the time. But I've seen it happen. I've seen teams come back from 0-2 and make the playoffs. But you don't want to start 0-3 and 0-4 because that percentage decreases more and more and more. Got way too much ground to pick up when you that far back. 0-2, last place in you're in last place in the worst division in football. So it's funny though. I mean, I thought the 2 bottom feeders were going to be bottom feeders, and they ate the 2 best teams in the 2 best teams in the division, Jaguars and Texans. So, but yeah, those are my thoughts between the game and the Raiders Titans game that's coming up on Sunday. We're gonna see if the Titans can bounce back. get their first win of the season. I hope they do. It's a winnable game. Don't get me wrong. It's a winnable game. I ain't gonna say they have no chance. It's definitely a winnable game. They just had to come out with that energy, and they got to get off to a good start, which they have done the first two games, but they got to sustain it throughout a four-quarter game. That's been the issue. So hopefully they can. All right, so week three, of course, you know what I like to do. I like to tell you what's going to happen in week three. Of course, in my upset picks, week one, I had the Texans beating the Colts. They tied. I had the Lions beating the Eagles, and the Eagles beat the Lions. So I was 0-1-1. And then week two, I had the Jets beating the Browns, which actually happened. The Jets beat the Browns. So week three, I got about three upsets. One of these upsets involves a division that I'm not entirely sure it will happen, but I'm going to take a chance and see what happens with the upsets and everything. But the first upset I got, I got the Washington Commanders beating the Eagles. I think Washington has not played well. Eagles obviously has played well. They're 2-0, but it's a division game. Washington at home. Carson Wentz playing against his old team. I think Carson Wentz is going to have one of his better games. I think you're going to see mostly good Carson Wentz here instead of bad Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz is going to have a really, really strong showing, and I think Washington wins this game. So I can see that happening. And another matchup I looked at was Detroit beating Minnesota. Detroit is on the road, so they the road underdogs here. I like that matchup. The Vikings are who I thought they were. So who's to say the Vikings couldn't lose to the Lions? Lions are playing with a lot of momentum. They're the highest scoring offense, one of the highest scoring offenses in the National Football League. Can't believe I'm saying that about the Detroit Lions. But Detroit has been playing really good football. Even in the loss, they played great football, and they're going to play hard. If you beat them, you're just going to have to beat them. Based off from a talent level standpoint, you just have to beat them. They're not giving games away like they used to. Not under previous coaches. They're playing hard for Dan Campbell. And that is a dangerous team to play against. When you got a bunch of players, they play hard for each other and play hard for their coach, that team's going to be in pretty much every single ball game. So I can see the Lions beating the Vikings. Absolutely. And then the third one, the one that I feel like a little bit less confident, but I'm going to go for it. I think everybody in the AFC South is going to win. The Colts are at home against the Chiefs. The Colts in the past have played well against the Chiefs. They played them really, really well since Mahomes been the quarterback. I can see the Colts being the Chiefs. I can see Houston being Chicago. I think Houston is kind of like Detroit. They're playing hard for their coach, and they've been in both of their games. They tied one, and they barely lost to the Broncos on the road. So I can see them beating Chicago on the road. And I see the Titans pulling out because they're an underdog as well, home underdog. I can see them beating the Raiders. And then I can see the Jacksonville Jaguars beating the L.A. Chargers. Jaguars on the road. I don't know the status of Justin Herbert. He could play. He might. He's probably going to play injured. He might not be the same. And the Jaguars have played the best out of all four teams in the South. They played two really good games. They just let one of those games slip away. But they have played well. Their defense has been better than I expected. And Trevor Lawrence is one of the five best quarterbacks in the league right now from a QBR standpoint. He's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league so far. So I can see all four of those teams winning. I mean, it's been a crazy 2 weeks of the NFL season. Let's just go ahead and keep it being crazy. Let's get the worst division in football. Everybody within the worst division in football wins a game in week three. So that's what I'm going to roll with. All right, and that will conclude this episode of the Jump Pass. Thank y'all so very, very much for sticking out with me and listening to my rant about this team, this Titans team. But we're going to get I hopefully we can get it together. And next week we could talk about a win. We'll talk about the first win, and we could talk about some other things that happened throughout the week regarding your Tennessee Titans. But in the meantime, my name is Ryan. This is the Jump Pass. Peace, love, and do one thing for me. That is the Titan up. Y'all have a great day.